Blog Talk Radio.
Across the board.
For me,
I want that across the board.
And I think I need to get back to space.
Amongst friends. Conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to another exciting and amazing episode of Amongst Friends, where the conversation is always, and I mean always, for the grown and sexy. Tonight we will be talking about same-sex marriages. And kind of looking at, kind of the importance or the impact of President Obama kind of being the first president to make that state, you know, to kind of take the stand that he supports same-sex marriages and what that meant to America's society, what that meant to people as individuals, and kind of what it meant for not just the gay and lesbian and or LGBT community, but what it meant to the religious communities, what it meant to individual people's lives. We also want to take a look at whether or not some of the arguments are that it's not a problem with people having the same civil liberties or rights as heterosexual married couples, but not necessarily being labeled or being called married, but just having civil union, so to speak. So we want to look at that, and we also want to ask the question, is marriage just for a man and a woman? Can there be marriage between a man and a man and a woman and a woman? What marriage actually means, what it stands for, and do we as a society, do we as a people, not as a black or white or green or blue, but as a race of human beings, do we even still honor the sacredness and blessedness, I guess, of marriage? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So we're hoping that you join in. Tonight I am with my fabulous friends. I have Deidre. Hey,
hello.
Deidre, say hi.
Hello, hello, hello.
And then I have my brother from another mother, Jeff. Say hi to the people, Jeff.
Don't say hi.
It's hump day.
Oh, see what I'm saying?
It's
see what I'm saying?
Day. It's hump day.
Okay. Oh, my God. See what I'm saying? This is what
is
we
it,
have to
is
do.
Is it hump day, Jeff? So that means
we're,
people get the hump.
I'm hump day humping.
Well, as Jeff described, I hope you humping on hump day. Humping up the hill, that is, to get to Thursday. So anyway,
hey.
If you want to join in on the discussion tonight about same-sex marriages, please call in at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. And you can press 1 because we want to hear from you. We want your comments. We want your questions. We want your thoughts. All right? So, family, we're going to jump right into it. So same-sex marriages. I think since it's been one of the hot-button topics, we'll start right there with kind of President Obama making that statement that he supports. He now has changed his decision. His eyes have been opened or his feelings have changed towards his support of same-sex marriages. You know, in the beginning, he kind of stood firm on the whole thing that he did not support it, but he did support people kind of having, you know, the same rights, but just not having, I guess, what the name or setting into law that same-sex marriages should be legal and legalized in the entire United States. So when he made this statement, I mean, people kind of went crazy on all sides, like, and some people were saying that this was because Joe Biden, his vice president, took a stand for same-sex marriages. Other people said it was because he needed, a push in the votes and things like that. But for me, I kind of think that, because a lot of people kind of say he's going to lose a lot of votes. A lot of people say he's kind of betrayed his religious views and all this stuff, and that it was going to be detrimental for him. But for me, I kind of just felt like I just kind of felt, I don't know, I guess I was kind of not as moved as the rest of the people were when he made this statement. I mean, it was pretty big, pretty significant, being that he was the first president, apparently, that kind of ever just came right out to support same-sex marriages. But I think for me, it wasn't that big of a deal on a political standpoint, because in our church and our pastor, who kind of really make sure that we as a church and as a people that we are involved in voting and the importance of politics, not the evil or non-moral ways of politics, but kind of the importance of being involved in the political climate in your state and in the United States as a whole. He kind of just made the point where I was feeling is that, Barack Obama, while he is a Christian, or he kind of went to a church or what have you, that he's still a political being, and so a moral standing is not where he's not responsible for kind of holding up the Bible and things like that, whereas his job is to, uphold the politics, to play politics. That's what his job, that's what his role is. And so I was more so the same sex thing didn't hit me as hard as it did a lot of other people, but for me it kind of was more so I'm more concerned about health care and getting these student loans forgiven rather than whether or not our president supports same-sex marriages. But what were some of your thoughts? What were some of your ideas of just centered around the president's view on same-sex marriages?
Basically, I can care less. And I say that because he didn't have to say that to get my vote, number one. Number two, he's still leaving it on the states as far as the law goes. And number three, everybody has the right to change their mind, whether it's to something good, to something bad. So it was just like a normal person. That's like if a dude sitting next to me on a bus made a decision to eat a hot dog versus a slice of pizza. So it's like, that's how I felt when he said it. But
okay.
No, oh my God.
Oh,
when it
because
I really ain't real crazy about the whole topic. But for me, being that I don't know, for me it's not a big deal. From a political aspect of it, you know what I'm saying? I understand civil liberties and whatnot, but morally, if he's a believer, then I think I was kind of taken aback that I understand the whole concept of that he's not a, just like he's not a, just because he's a black president, he's now, all of his issues and focuses should be on black people or whatever. But I kind of was taken aback that, if this is what you believe morally, then why would you make a public announcement that it goes against what you say you believe. Mm-hmm. And then to, you know, further to go on, you know, then what else will you compromise on this platform that you're on? You know what I'm saying? I understand that when you get into office, you know, there's a lot of things that you come across, and I understand that he is a president of the United States, which includes all faith, which includes all ideals and what have you. But, you know, if this is what I believe, then I'm going to stand on this. And it doesn't matter if I get votes or I don't get votes or anything like that, but these are the biblical principles that I stand by. And so I was just a little bit taken back.
You said the biblical principles that you stand on.
What do you mean, okay, the biblical principles that I stand on?
Okay. I hope it ain't the King James Version.
What do you mean by that, Jeff?
I'm saying, if you know, come on.
Don't
come
go
on,
making
black,
no
don't.
Statements if you're not going to come.
Let's be real. If you have been in any Sunday school, well, I can't say Sunday school because I got this information when I went to a Catholic school. So I had a religion class, and in that religion class, it wasn't a Christianity, you know, all about Christianity and really the faith. It was more like a history class on religion. And I had a religion teacher that basically knew that he had Puerto Rican kids in his class, Polish kids in his class, Cape Verdean kids in his class, African-American kids in his class, and straight-up white kids. And he knew that he had to address a whole lot of questions. So being a Baptist kid, son of a preacher, I hit him with just about everything that I was possibly getting, and I will never forget the one thing that shut me up is when he said, "So you're standing on all of this, that you got out of your Sunday school, and you know the sermons on the mount, but did you know that the King James Version was sort of like a Bible written?" That was paid for to be written so that good old King James could get himself out of a marriage. So that shut me up as a Baptist kid. And I had to go run and tell that, you know, to my peoples, you know, who was supplying me with everything that, you know, I thought was, you know, why are you going to lie to me about this? This is the Bible. This is the righteous that I'm getting, and I'm a kid now. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I said I hope it's not the King James Version, because I think that's a bit tainted. And if it's a bit tainted, then I think that you have every right to be able to, when the mood hits you, when you can substantiate it for yourself, create new interpretation of what said the Lord.
Well, here's where I differ on that. I mean, I understand, yes, the history of this and that, but if I was raised to believe that this is what the Bible says, and I believe that the word in the Bible, whether it be the King James, the ESV, the NIV, the NISVGA, the KLMS, the Message, or whatever other type of Bible that there is out there, but I believe that the Word of God is the infallible truth, that this is, that the Word that was given was God-inspired, and that is what I stand on, regardless of the history and all of this kind of stuff. This, I believe what's in the Bible to be truth, because God is the same yesterday. He doesn't change. It's not about my feelings or how I come about it anyway, but if this is what I believe, me, or if as a Christian this is what I am believing, then I'm not going to change it. But you know, but then again, you have Christians out there who do when they feel like, you know, hey, you know, I have a different interpretation. You know, now somebody has shared some information with me and it has made me think about some things, you know, what have you. So, you know what? I no longer believe what I used to believe. Mm. And so, of course, your opinion is going to change. But what I'm saying is, if I'm saying that this is what I believe the Bible to be truth. Now, and we'll probably get into this later on, but I'm just saying that it took me back. That, you know, if this is what you're professing, I am a Christian, and if I say I'm a Christian, then I am assuming that your biblical standing or your principles come from the Bible, then your support of this is goes against what you believe in, and that's all I'm saying.
Mm. So as we are kind of looking into the whole idea, and I'm glad that you guys kind of, even though y'all went on a tangent, I am glad that y'all brought up the point about the Bible and how we can tie it into this discussion about same-sex marriages. And I think it's important to start where marriage, which according to, you know, to Christian biblical beliefs, that marriage started with God, and God established marriage between a man and a woman. So I want to kind of talk about how we define marriage and if same-sex marriages fit the same-sex relationships, committed relationships, can meet the criteria for marriage. And I'll just throw out a statement that according to just what marriage is defined as a covenant or a promise between a man and a woman, that same-sex individuals do not fit the criteria for marriage. And I say this not saying that I don't think that a man and a man can have an actual loving, romantic, intimate relationship. I am not saying that whatsoever. I'm also not saying that a woman and a woman can't have an intimate, romantic, committed relationship with one another. But can they have a marriage? Or rather, if they stand before a priest or a person who can marry them and give them a marriage certificate and what have you, is it a marriage, or is it just a union that is honored by the state? And where I stand, I do believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, as the biblical foundation of marriage, all the way down from society's view up until now. I believe that marriage is a covenant between God, a man, and a woman. And I don't believe, that same-sex individuals or same-sex couples can be just in that definition of marriage, can be married under that definition, if that makes sense.
So you threw out your statement, and your statement has men and a woman in it, right? Your statement has union, it has before God or a person who is able to marry you. So you throw out all that, and the first thing that hit me is I'm a married man.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a marriage between Bill and Ted, Stacy and Susan? How is that going to put my marriage in jeopardy? How is that going to put what I know would be true between me and my wife in jeopardy? And I have to say that if it doesn't put anything in jeopardy on the side of marriage, then I don't think I don't think that they should be blocked from becoming a married couple. Now, if you want to, you throw out everything that people hold dear, which is you want to get married, hopefully you want to get married in a church, but you know, some society is skewed a little bit, so people will go get married by a person who can perform the ceremony, who is a licensed performing ceremony, so it can be legal or what have you. Now, I say just give same-sex couples the ability to get married. If the church don't want to do it, let them go to the Justice of the Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Let them get their piece of paper. I don't know why we're in a big uproar like it's going to cause World War III. It's not going to do anything if Bill and Ted say, I do. They're still going to live next to you. They're still going to pay their taxes like you. Hell, they want to fight in a war when you don't. So I don't understand why the big commotion is about the whole thing. I mean, is the IRS mad or upset?
No.
Bill and Ted going to be trying to get tax benefits?
I think the issue is, Jeff, as far as the religious communities are concerned, is for those individuals, not for the pastors and preachers and reverends and elders who are saying, hey, we still believe in God. We still believe in the power of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And they are saying, hey, and we believe that same-sex couples can get married, and so we will perform marriages in our church if we so choose to. I think the issue is for a lot of people, as you brought up, is that there's the religious individuals, the religious communities that are saying, no, we're going to take a stand on the King James Version of the Bible or whatever version of the Bible that they are reading from, that we're going to take a stand, and marriage is only between a man and a woman. And if we take this stand, we don't want to be penalized for it. I think that's where the World War III and everything is coming up for a lot of people in the religious communities, is that they're saying, hey, okay, that's fine if these other preachers want to say that, you know, same-sex couples can be married and we will marry them in the church. That's fine. That's their decision. They have to deal with God. But we don't want to be penalized if it is made into a law that that the states can marry married couples, and these same-sex couples come to our church and we refuse them, that we could be sued, we could be penalized, our church can be closed down. You know, though, I think that's one part of the fight, is that people who want to stand against the whole thing, the whole same-sex marriages, they don't want to be penalized. I think the other battle is, for a lot of people, because you make a very valid point, if Steve and Steve want to get married, if Amy and Amy Lou want to be married to each other, then that's their business. But some people are saying, but they should not get the same benefits as we do. They should not get the same tax bracket, tax rights or whatever, or tax benefits. They shouldn't be able to get combined or joint health care and all this stuff. They shouldn't be able to adopt children, you know, whatever the argument is. But I think what's bigger for me, and where I'm on the side where, hey, you give them the same rights, I'm not opposed to them having the same rights. I'm not opposed to the couples expressing their love and going to the Justice of the Peace or to churches that are more, you know, that are more radical or rather they are fine with it. I think my issue is for the churches, for the mosque and, you know, the temples that are saying, no, we're going to stand firm on what we believe God's word is saying concerning marriage and what marriage is, that these people, that these individuals, that these churches, that these people should not be penalized if they refuse to marry same-sex couples, if they refuse to have gay clergymen and clergywomen if they refuse these things. Like, they should not be penalized or looked at as being discriminatory or prejudiced. And I think that's where a lot of the backlash is coming from, because, to be honest, no one wants to talk about this. No one wants to push these buttons because it's so heavy, and because people are now really closely linking the plight of homosexual individuals, lesbians, and what have you. They link it to race and the problems with racism, and so it's becoming so heavy that people don't want to deal with it, and or people don't want to discuss it. They don't want to talk about it, and so they kind of just say, okay, I'm all right with them getting married, but I'm not okay with them having the same rights, or I'm not okay with me being with punitive actions coming upon me if I refuse to believe in what they believe, kind of thing.
So let me get this straight. First thing is that when single people have the same rights as single gay people, lesbian people, correct? So they have to register to vote. I mean, they have to register for selected service. If we had a draft, they would go, barring whatever stops them from going. They have the right to work and seek gainful employment.
Mm-hmm.
They can get benefits from their jobs that they pay for, whatever, get their co-pays, get their teeth done. You know, they can go get breast reductions or whatever. They can go get surgeries and stuff like that. Single. But you want to cut them off at the knees? This is the argument. So for all of their freaking adult life that they go through, just like those married folks that are standing up and standing on this fight and standing up in this issue, and they are saying, I don't want you to I don't want you to penalize my church. All right, cool. I don't think the church should be penalized. I'll say that right now. If they want to marry a same-sex couple. But you stand, a married person standing on the fact that they don't want a gay couple, a lesbian couple, to have the same rights as them, when we were all single and they just stood right beside me and did the same exact thing, that is stupid. That, to me, is stupid. So the switch or the pedestal is marriage? Really? And then on top of that, if you standing on this, if you standing on this very issue that you don't want same-sex couples just to have the same benefits as you as a married couple, and then I can seriously ask you, are you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you can tell me no, and you still standing on this? I should smack fire out of you, because you are not saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you are standing on something that is biblical. So you are not the person who is possible to throw the first stone, but yet and still you can sit in my face and say all of this stuff about same-sex couples, and you don't want them to have the same benefits. You don't want them sharing copay. You don't want them sharing tax brackets like you. But you didn't even have to fight for that. You didn't have to fight for that. That was already given to you. There was no fight for that. So now you're making somebody else fight for that. That is dumb. It makes no sense. Your only power is the power to open your mouth and say something. Open your mouth or just keep your mouth closed and not say something. To me, it is not intelligent. Or anybody, if you are not saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, that should be the stepping stone for the argument. If you're not that, then you cannot open your mouth and say to a gay lesbian couple, I don't want you to get married I don't want you to have this change. Because of what? So you don't want them to get married because you don't want them to have the same insurance coverage as you? Where was the big fight to get that from married couples? Where was the big fight? I don't remember that in my history books. I don't remember nobody marching for that. That's an insurance perk. Duh. That's an insurance perk. But you standing on it, though. I got to listen to this on the news. You don't want them to have the same tax bracket as you. But if they make more money than you, they're already not in your tax bracket. You worried about taxes? Really? What is that going to do to your, what is that going to do to your bottom line? To the money you bring in your house? I don't understand it. It don't do nothing for you either way. It's like it's almost like if you sit in your house, you wake up in the morning, you watching the news, and you find out that 5 people got shot in D.C. If you don't know them 5 people, if you don't know them 5 people or not connected to them family, it's news that you hear and you go on with your life. But I'm supposed to sit up here and seriously give you an intelligent piece of my mind when you say you're against it? I'm sorry, I can't. I can't. Where's the real fight in it?
So I guess my question to the Amongst Friends crew is, can marriage be redefined? I think that's another big argument because, you know, Jeff makes a really good point. And, again, there are many different sides to this argument, which I don't even really think people are arguing anymore, to be quite honest with you, because of the move that has just happened now is that, you know, people are more accepting. Society is more accepting. I mean, even you can see in our media how people are more accepting of same-sex couples and even civil liberties and marriages and things like that, with states passing. So I think the argument now comes towards, can marriage be redefined? Should it be redefined? And, again, it starts with the original kind of definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. So can it be redefined? Hey, we're fine with them getting the same rights, getting the same tax breaks, getting the same insurance and adopting kids. We're fine with that. They want that. That's fine. But we have more so of a problem with them being labeled or called or saying that they are married. So what kind of, you know, Deidre, Jeff, what are your thoughts on kind of that side of the argument? Hey, they can have all the rights they want to, and we can make those rights legal and protected, but let's not redefine what marriage is. Let's not change it into law that marriage can go beyond just a man and a woman. What are kind of your thoughts on that? But before we go there, I just want to let you guys know again for those who are listening, those who are Facebooking, chatting, what have you. We want your comments. We want your questions. We want your thoughts. So call in 760-683-2662. Join us in the group page at Amongst Friends on Facebook, or you can join us at www.blogtalkradio.com. / Amongst Friends and join our chat. So again, the question is, can marriage be redefined? Should it be? Can marriage be redefined or should it be redefined? Is marriage just for a man and a woman? What are your thoughts?
I think it can be redefined. And I mean, when all this is said and done, I think it will be redefined so that, you know, it lends itself to heterosexual, homosexual couples. Yeah.
I think here again, I kind of have mixed feelings about it, and I have the same trepidation that Deidre has about this topic because, you know, on one side of the fence, I don't want to look like I am gay bashing or prejudice or I'm none of those things. As a matter of fact, I'm all for people living, making their own choices and decisions. I can't question your love. I can't question none of those things. But I don't think on the other side, and I have no problem with you having the same rights as a person who is married or a person who has been in a common law marriage and having the same rights and responsibilities. I also have no problems with you with gay, lesbian, transgendered, you know, or even questioning individuals participating in church, schools, none of that stuff. I don't even have time to be thinking about that. I'm just trying to make it out here. But I think for me, if I have to take a stand, if I have to step out of that whole middle ground thinking and take a stand, then my stand would be that marriage can't be redefined. One, it can't be redefined by man because it wasn't created by man. Man did not create marriage. I firmly, wholeheartedly believe that marriage was created by God. So I cannot believe that man, whether our lawmakers, whether our kings, our queens, our governors, our legislators, they cannot change a God-made, you know, creation. They can't change it no matter how much they try or what they try to interpret, that it can't, that marriage itself can, the definition, the principle of marriage cannot be redefined. So that's where I stand on that. But I also think that if it is changed, if it's redefined, then I believe, and feel free to disagree with me, callers, my amongst friends, family, feel free to disagree with me, but I also think that if marriage is redefined, that it would be more than just a man and just a woman, that I also believe that it'll be redefined in other areas. What's to stop when a person wants to come to a church or to the Justice of Peace and be married to an animal? They saying, hey, I love this dog. I love this giraffe. I love this cat so much that I want to marry it, and I want to have a relationship, a marriage covenant and sealing to this animal or to some pedophile, and I'm not, to some pedophile that wants to marry a child that I'm in love, I want to marry. I'm not talking about, I'm not saying that gay and lesbian couples, I'm not comparing them to people who practice bestiality or pedophilia. I'm not comparing them at all. Listen to me when I say, I don't want no one calling in and saying that I'm comparing it. I'm just saying the part of marriage should not be redefined. Because if we open the door for it to be redefined just on the basis of same sex, then what's to stop it? What's to stop it from being redefined in other areas? And again, I'm just trying to generate a discussion. But this is some of the things that I think in my own personal time is that, you know, what's to stop from someone saying, I want to marry a building? There's actually a new trend with people who are falling in love with inanimate objects. You know, what's to stop people from wanting polygamy to become legal? You know, that's what I'm saying. Marriage itself should not be redefined. You want rights, you want responsibilities, go for it. But I don't think marriage should be redefined.
I'm going to, we have a caller, but to answer your question, Joy, I'm going to read one of the comments from one of our members of the Amongst Friends group. And it says, first of all, it is against the law to have sex with animals. It is considered cruelty to animals. Secondly, it is far-fetched for someone to make that comparison to a gay couple. In fact, as a straight black man, that would offend me if that was a point being made. Third, to clear up the religion point I made, I grew up with the thought that there is man and wife to be fruitful and multiply with the opposing sex. I still feel that is how life is supposed to be. And even if I see that going against my beliefs, I still support gay marriage because I support their choice and belief system. Because the fact is, their choices are not harmful, but molestation in the church is harmful. Adultery is harmful, and stealing the church's money is harmful. So God said, let there be happiness and family. And if their family is happy, then it's God's will. And I want to put that out there. And then I'd like to hear from Renee.
Yes, I think quite a few of the analogies have been quite interesting. I am one that feels that it should not be redefined because I guess consciously, biblically, that's my viewpoint. Now, what people do with their personal lives is their business, which is how I feel, but when we go to say that it's a law or man's made-up way of changing things or order of God, if you will, I have a problem with that. Now, people do what they do. That's their business. But when we, I'm not offended by the analogy of saying, you know, if someone say they want to marry a kid or an animal or whatever, reality is you do have to have a point where, okay, enough is enough. And there has to be a stand or a standard that is maintained regardless of whatever. And I feel like the church is sleeping. Too many things are occurring, and it's like, the church is sleeping because all of these things are occurring and everyone is okay with everything. We're living in a lawless time now. There are no laws, no convictions, no just do whatever you want to do. And as long as that is the case, we're going to see a lot worse things than same-sex marriages being legalized. And so that's just my own personal opinion, but I feel like it can't be redefined, or it shouldn't be redefined. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you for calling in.
And let me just clarify to the group members or the chatters, because unfortunately I can't see, so I can't respond to that. But again, as I said before I made my statements, I am in no way, shape, or form comparing homosexuality, lesbianism, or those who practice or who are in the lifestyle or who are married legally or what have you, and who are in same-sex marriages. I am not, Joseph is not saying that, comparing them. They are not the same. They are not one and the same. I do not believe that a man that sleeps with a man is the same as a person that sleeps with an animal or with a child. I am not in no way, shape, or form comparing the two in that aspect. I was making a statement as though to this point, though, that if we change what the original definition of marriage is, if we try to change what God intended marriage, not what he intended love to be, not what he intended romantic romance and intimacy and sex, not what he intended that to be. I said when we had Pastor Darrell on, I'm not questioning, I'm not arguing, and no do I stand in the seat of judgment for people who have a different lifestyle or choice than I do. I don't stand in judgment of that because I have to answer to God for my own mess, for my own sins. So I'm not going to sit around and be judging people when I'm trying to make it in too. But here's what I am saying, though, is that if we change what marriage is, what is to stop? And, yes, you know, the person, Deidre, that you read said that it is illegal for a person to sleep with a child or a person to sleep with an animal. But and right now, same-sex marriages in not everywhere is it legal to marry a same-sex couple. It's not recognized, but it's changing. So who's to say that if this happens, if society steps in, if the government steps in and changes marriage, the definition of marriage, so that it can't, so same-sex marriages can be legal everywhere, who's to say that they can't, those same lawmakers, those same voters, the same individuals can't go back and change it again, so that it can fit the people that want to marry animals, so that it can fit, you know. I mean, I know it seems a little extreme, but this is the truth of the matter, and this is what I'm saying, and I like what Renee, the last caller, just said, is that I don't think it's just the church is not just sleeping. They are knocked out. They are cold because people don't want to approach none of these subjects. But I also think society is just completely asleep and living in this delusion that if we don't say anything, if we don't stand for anything, then we won't get backlash. We won't get ridiculed. We won't get labeled as prejudiced or discriminatory. We won't be labeled as being offensive. I made a simple statement, which I already knew, and I tried to give give a disclaimer, and, you know, my disclaimer just went out the door with me making that statement. So, you know, people don't say anything because they don't want to be labeled. But like I said before, my stand is that you can have your rights. Hey, and if you find a church that wants to marry you as a same-sex couple, then go ahead. I'm not questioning that. Two things that I would not like to see, well, actually three. One, the government get involved and legalize it in a way that the church can be penalized. Two, that churches are forced to marry to marry same-sex couples. And then three, them redefining society, the lawmakers redefining what marriage is. You can't do it. I don't want to see them do it. I think it would be wrong and immoral for them to change marriage, change the definition of marriage.
Here's my Kanye West moment. If same-sex marriage was okay, we would not have grown men taking clergymen to court because they were raped as little boys.
Say that again.
If same-sex marriage was allowed and it was okay,
mm-hmm.
There would be less grown men taking clergymen to court saying that you raped me when I was a little boy.
Well, Jeff, I think that's a different situation altogether. There's a number of factors that come into that. One, I think for those individuals who raped little boys or molested little boys, and they are clergymen, one, they have a problem. They have a problem, and it's called pedophilia. It don't have anything to do with them being homosexual. As a matter of fact, a lot of the priests are heterosexual males who have a illness or a sickness called pedophilia, and they molest little boys or they molest girls, little girls. So that's a total different problem in and of itself. But I do agree on this end that, one, if people stop holding on to secrets, if they stop allowing things to go on for years and years, if they don't teach their kids, hey, if something bad happens to you, let's keep it in the family. Hey, we don't want any embarrassment. We don't want any big things, so let's keep it quiet. I think that's what the issue with those clergymen who molest little boys. I don't think it's because same-sex marriages or they're not allowed to marry, because, again, a number of them are heterosexual males, actually, who have a sickness, who have a problem, that need to go and get help, who need to be not just locked up, not just locked away, not just made to register on a sex offender list, but they need to be rehabilitated. And I think that's what the issue is. And people need to do more, churches need to do more thorough background check. And people, you might want to stop just letting your kids be alone with everybody. We just, here again, we just too trusting with our kids. So I think, Jeff, that even if same-sex marriage is legalized, that's not going to stop people from, that's not going to stop clergymen from molesting little boys, because they thought the problem lied in, because they wasn't able to get married, they thought because they were bound to a life of celibacy, that's what kind of kicked off that whole molest the altar boys or the altar girls or what have you. But the problem stemmed because it was a sickness that wasn't being addressed, and then there were just too many people keeping secrets. Again, if we do allow same-sex marriages, that's not going to stop it. That's not going to stop grown men finally breaking free of their own guilt and shame, because they have been made to feel guilty and made to feel shame because they were molested. They finally grow up and they become free, and they bring their molesters to the light. But the same-sex marriage part is not going to stop that.
What is it? Here's a question for everybody. If it is allowed.
Uh-huh.
If it is allowed and same-sex couples are allowed to be married in all the states, what's it going to hurt?
What does it hurt?
Yeah, what is it going to hurt? What is it going to damage? What is it going to the heterosexual warriors who are against same-sex marriage? Besides the fight being defeated, besides that, what is going to be the things that are going to break down for the heterosexual community because Bill and Ted can get married?
I think.
In the words of Cat Williams, I'll wait.
I think, again, it depends on what. Because when you make a law into a law, there are repercussions to breaking that law. So I think a lot of people are kind of thinking on the grounds of, okay, if we make something into law, we already know, and the Bible speaks about the law being something that we are not going to be able to fully follow. That it is made to condemn us, so to speak, because we're human, and so we're not going to follow the law to the T. So I think for a lot of people, where a lot of the damage is going to come from, is for those individuals who break the law. And this sounds kind of crazy, but I mean, the truth of the matter is, a lot of people. Hello.
Go Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, a lot of people are fearful of, okay, what are the repercussions if I do not want to honor same-sex marriage, if I do not want to perform a same-sex marriage ceremony in my church or in my courthouse or in my jurisdiction or what have you, what happens if I don't want to honor this? What happens when I break this law? What are the repercussions? I think that's the first thing that people are saying. But secondly, as I've stated before, is, hey, give them the same rights. I don't really care either way, but do not redefine marriage. So you can put exchange rings, but does it have to be called marriage? Does it have to be called I am married? Does it have to be labeled that way? I think that's where a lot of where my side of it comes from, and where a lot of other people is just that we don't marriage just cannot be redefined by man. I think that's where the issue is.
So, everything on this planet has the ability to be reinvented, made anew, altered, updated, kind of called progress in some cases. So I don't understand why this can't be. So, Joey, you're an African American male.
Mm-hmm.
And you're heterosexual, correct?
Yes. Very much so.
And you can stand in an elevator next to a Hispanic gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
A Hispanic gay guy, a black gay guy, a white gay guy, a Dominican gay guy. So the human race has alteration. It has different levels to it, complexities to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can have that, why can't marriage be altered? Why can't the definition be? Why does that have to be the last remaining thing that just can't be updated on this planet?
I think here again, just. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm
just not understanding. I mean, if it's a, I don't see where the damage comes in to you, Joey, because
mm-hmm.
all that's going to happen is that your definition of marriage will be number one in Webster's dictionary. Number two will reference a being on this planet that you are not. So it helps out somebody. It helps out your fellow man, woman, who are trying to do the same thing you're trying to do, but they
mm-hmm.
can't. When your parents and my parents or whatever were standing toe-to-toe trying to get the right to vote.
Right.
Okay? It was white people had it. We didn't. We was just trying to get what they wanted.
Yeah, but you know what, Jeff? I don't want to spill into that because then I just have a total different idea, and I don't want it to go in that direction because I don't think that race and sexuality are the same. I don't – now that – and people in the chat rooms and all of that can say whatever they want. That's just my opinion. I do not believe that my skin color and my sexuality are one and the same. Now that part I don't believe. So our people, our ancestors fighting for their rights because of their skin color, them being subjected and being killed and murdered and mutilated and abused and harmed for years because they're darker or because they have more melanin in their skin, because their nose are broader or their eyes are wider or what have you, and our hair is maybe a little more curly and kinky than our white counterparts, I don't think those two things are one and the same. I people have made the argument for it. I'm not going to, I just will never believe that race and sexuality are the same, that you I can choose my, the same, I can't choose my skin color is the same as someone choosing, not their sexual orientation, but choosing to be in a same-sex relationship or same-sex marriage. I don't think those two things are one and the same. Am I saying they don't have the right to fight for what they believe in? No, I'm not saying that at all. Am I saying that they should be subjected to cruelty and mistreatment and gay bashing? No, I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is that I don't think that those two things are the same, that their fight is the same as the fight that our ancestors fought for. I don't think those are the two. Those are two separate things, and they can't be or shouldn't be compared. But my argument, or to answer your question,
Joey, how can you not think that they're the same when the intention the intention and the conviction of both are the same?
I don't think that they're the same as far as
before you answer, what it sounds like to me you're saying, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the only difference is that being black isn't a choice and being gay is.
No. Well, one thing is true. We have absolutely no choice in our skin color. No one can choose their race. No one can choose it. At all. You can denounce it all you want, but the fact of the matter is we had no selection in it whatsoever. Now, as far as people choosing their sexual orientation, my views are a little bit different on that. My views are a little bit different on whether a person can choose their sexual orientation. But here's what you can choose, whereas what we as people who of color could not choose. You might not can't choose your sexual orientation just as I can't choose my skin color, but what you can choose is whether or not to live the lifestyle. Whereas I could not, and no one hold that against you. Whereas I cannot choose, people were being held, their skin color was being held against them. They were seen as inferior for something that you cannot choose whatsoever. While you might not can't choose your sexual orientation or who you have an attraction to, you can choose whether or not you live the lifestyle. You can choose whether you are openly gay or closeted. You can choose whether you want to practice, whether you want to.
So basically what you're saying is simply because a person can make a choice,
mm-hmm.
then although the conviction, the intention, and all of that is the same, simply because they can make a choice, they shouldn't be able to call it marriage?
No, I'm not talking about that either. I was referring to what Jeff was saying I'm sorry, I'm not throwing you under the bus or anything, but I'm saying for me, just in the context of skin color versus sexuality, I don't think that the whole fight or the fight our ancestors did is the same type of fight. So when people compare, hey, I'm being discriminated against the same way the black man or the black woman was discriminated against, I just think those are two different fights that should not be compared. That's what I mean for that. But for marriage, or for the part of my thing is, I don't think that marriage should be redefined. I say if you want the same rights, you want the same liberties as people who get married, I don't care. Have them. Be happy. That's what makes you happy. If Steve and Adam makes each other happy, I'm not here to argue that point. I don't really care what you do in the privacy of your own home. I'm not questioning your love. that's not what my argument is. My argument is this, that if we cannot redefine marriage because we did not create it.
Okay, so, but who created it and who defines it?
God.
And what did God define marriage as?
Man, between a man and a woman.
Are we sure about that?
As far as I'm concerned, yes. I haven't been told otherwise.
Okay.
Hey, Joey. You do realize that the one person you do realize that you are holding that onto God told that to one person who had a piece of parchment paper and some ink and wrote that down, and there is no way they could have got it wrong. There's no way that the person who wrote that down was like halfway through the definition.
No, I can't believe. When it comes to the Bible, and the principles that is taught, I don't believe in hypothetical anomalies. I don't believe in that. I believe that if God wanted us to, if there was supposed to be more, then He would have put it there.
I get where Jeff is going with this, and I'm not in any way saying that we need to question the Bible or the Word of God, but what I will say for me where the period is on this is that people lived for hundreds of years without a Bible, and now we live and we have a Bible, and we can't seem to get off of it. I'm not saying the Bible is not good, and it's not, but I think it needs to be put in perspective, and it needs to be used in the perspective as the tool that it is. Just like the Old Testament is still there, but we're no longer under the Old Testament law. That doesn't mean that it doesn't have some truth in it, that it did not happen, it was not the Word of God, but we're no longer under that judgment, under that law. Now we're under the New Testament law. And so where we define or where we like to pull the definition of marriage from is in the Old Testament. But we love to get happy and shout in church and be liberated. We're no longer under the law. We're under grace and we're under the New Testament. Now, either we're going to be under both or we're not. So that's why I'm not on this whole kick of what the Bible says about it. I can go along with the fact that people feel a accountability and a responsibility to hold marriage in a high regard as it has been throughout the years, and to keep it in the perspective of what it is and all of those things. But at the same time, I don't think that we need to be so stuck that we can't redefine it or we can't add to it to accommodate, because for me, what does it matter to not change the definition of marriage if you're going to give them the rights and privileges of it? Then just make them inclusive in the definition. It's like, who are we trying to make comfortable here?
Who
are we trying to make comfortable? I mean, that's like psyching out yourself.
I'm not trying to make I don't think people are trying to make anyone comfortable. I just think society as a whole is just comfortable with a whole bunch of stuff. So, I mean, we only have about an hour and 30 minutes, so I can't even go across the board with what I believe society is comfortable with, and as we as human beings are just too comfortable with anyway. But my argument is that if we redefine marriage in any way other than how it was originally defined, and it's not just in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament as well. You know, Paul talks about, even in Corinthians in chapter 7, he talks about, you know, how a man cares for the needs of his wife. I didn't see anything other than that in there saying that a man cares for the needs of his husband or a woman cares for the needs of her wife. So
okay, but do you see in the Bible? Okay, but I'm not counteracting that. But what I will say, do you see in the Bible that the church is God's bride?
Yes, I did. I do. Yes, I have.
And who is the church?
We are the people that believe and profess in Jesus Christ.
Okay, is God a man?
God is a man. I mean, well, he's not a man, but we personify him as male.
And Jesus came in the form of a man so that we would recognize
him. Now, Jesus
did
come
in the
form of a man, yes, yes.
And you're a man, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And you are the church, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
The bride of Christ,
I'm a part
correct?
Of the church. Uh-huh.
The bride of Christ, right?
Right, right.
Okay, that's all I just said.
Yeah, but you haven't proven any point.
I'm not
because
it's
an allegory. It's an allegory. So I'm not literally a bride. I'm not going to put on a dress, but it's an allegory.
Joey, you don't have to explain it or justify it. I just
no,
asked.
But you just, no, but I
yes,
know what you were asking
honestly,
it
I just
for,
asked.
Dear.
Nothing more
and
to
so
it. I just
I'm
asked.
Clarifying. Okay. I'm clarifying for the people
oh, okay.
that it is an
I didn't
allegory.
Know it was just you and I talking about it.
Whatever, Heather.
Joey,
yes, sir.
I
yes, sir.
Okay,
sure,
so,
go for it.
What man?
One of my gay counterparts.
What man created homosexuality?
What'd you say?
What
I said one of my gay counterparts kind of got me with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured I'd use it on you.
Yeah, but it won't work. Because I know the Bible is both literal and figurative. Anyway, go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Did not God create homosexuality?
I will have to say no. I will have to say that no, God did not create homosexuality.
For all the generations of people on this planet who have either been homosexual and been in a closet, been homosexual and come out and people are embracing the statement and the fact that being homosexual is not something that you choose. It is in your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are born, you cannot choose. You're not choosing it. It is what's in you.
Okay.
You're gonna tell me that you do not think that the God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, put in DNA, put in all these millions of people, homosexuality. It was a man thing, and it just trickled down from the mad scientists who back in the day found a way to do it, and it's been trickling through our species since then. That's what you try to tell me.
I do not believe that God created homosexuality, just as I don't believe that he himself created murder, created rape, people who created molestation. I don't believe in any of that. I believe that when on the spiritual side, when sin entered the world, that's where everything, not just homosexuality, but all things that goes against what God originally created us for came into being. So I believe that all of it, even in our fornication, in our killings, in our murderings, in our molestings, in our rapings, in our desires and our lust for one another, for animals, and our lust for, inanimate objects. I believe that all of that came into being because of sin on the spiritual side. On the natural, in the scientific, I believe that it is a product. Homosexuality and all of the other things is a product of a number of factors, genetics, or as you described, DNA. I also believe that it is a product of environment, the product of nurturing, the product of society's influence on the human mind and the development of human beings, especially now with media being so powerful and also media being so influential. So I believe that homosexuality and the propensity, because we all have the propensity, whether you're the straightest male or the most feminine male or the straightest female or the female that is prone to other females. I believe that we all innately have the predisposition born to us on the spiritual side of it being a sin nature or a sin DNA engrafted blood passed on thing, as well as it being engrafted in us scientifically. We all have the propensity to sin or to choose outside of God's original idea. But I do not believe that God created it, that he specifically said, in me creating this world and creating these people, I am going to create something that's going to cause a ginormous rift and ultimately destroy what I originally intended my people to be, and that's people of love. That's people of kindness. That's people of gentleness and mercy. That's what he originally. So I don't think that he created it. I think sin created it, but I also think it's just innately in us to just go against God, period, in whatever sexual orientation or belief that you take.
Sin,
that's my dissertation.
Sin created homosexuality.
Yeah.
Is sin Lucifer? Is sin the devil?
No, sin is in our nature. Sin is sin. And the devil, Lucifer, as you described him as, he plays on those innate feelings and lusts and things that are within us. And whatever you're strongly or more genetically predisposed towards, I believe spiritually, if he takes hold and influences it, that it brings itself into the natural. So while we all may have innately have the propensity towards, let's just say, killing, not everyone does killing, but all of us have the propensity to do it. Because we just live in a world of sin. But we live in a world of fallible people.
Is that how you really see it, Joey?
I do. I don't think that God created homosexuality. Huh?
That's his dissertation.
It was. It is. I don't believe that God created homosexuality. Just the same as I don't believe that God created fornication or God created murdering. I don't believe that. But that's just my belief.
My favorite is my paper.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I mean, but why, and I guess my question to you, Jeff, would be, why would he?
Why would he?
Yeah, why would he create sin?
I
Why would he create? Here's the thing.
If I had to take a guess at anything that God supposedly did or didn't do, all I can say about that is that I don't think that he is as straight laced as some people want to believe that he is. I don't think that this is the same entity that created the cosmos, that he created the cosmos that you live in, that produced the planet that you live on, and all he could do was put man and woman on this earth to just love a man and a woman? Are you crazy? That's ridiculous to me. That he couldn't figure out that there needs to be a natural way other than people growing to 10,000 on this planet to basically die off and either go to someplace else or be reborn, that he didn't come up with that? That he didn't say, okay, well, here's murder. That he didn't do that so that there is a way for people to go and come and go and come and go and come other than just
no.
10,000 years?
You're asking me.
So here's the thing. I don't think that your God is that. I don't think that he's got that one track mind like you say and want to believe that he had. I'm sorry. I don't. He gave me free will. He gave you free will.
I agree with you.
That's not a straight-laced situation, Joey, because it has so many variations. It has as many variations in your life, in my life, than the planet in the cosmos, the Milky Way, and what's beyond it, Joey. But you mean to tell me that all of that, a man, Adam and Eve, was supposed to be it for the rest of everything on this planet? That's what you're telling me.
No, what I am telling you is that I just don't agree with you that he created things. So if he's a God of order, why would he create chaos? That doesn't make sense to me. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying chaos theory, Joey.
Chaos theory. Man came up with it. It's in books. It's the chaos theory. What you think is chaos is not. What you think is chaos is not.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing, Jeff. My argument, I'm not arguing with you whether or not a man and a woman or a man and a woman can love each other. I don't argue that point anymore. I've seen it. And I also don't argue whether or not a man and a man and a woman and woman is going to make it into heaven. I don't have that issue anymore. I did when I was younger and before I learned and before I discovered that we cannot define how someone loves someone. That's not my argument, and neither is my judgment. Because again, as I said before in the beginning of the show, that I'm trying to make it in myself. So I don't think that anyone, because they don't choose my lifestyle or my way of thinking, they're any less excluded from heaven than I am. Because if by all standards, none of us don't make it, and that's just the truth. None of us don't make it, whether our God is as laissez-faire as you believe him to be, or he's as logical and all-powerful as I believe him to be. And I just don't believe, and I'm not saying that we have two different gods. I believe we believe in the same God. But what I can't agree with is that he would purposely make people to, he would make a man and a woman and design them as intricately as even you have described he has made, not just the universe, but the human body, that he had made it this way, and he made it so that a man, when he sticks his penis into a woman's vagina, that not only can they have great pleasurable sex, they also can create. And then give the same ability for a man to stick his penis in the anus of another man or a woman. I don't know what they do, but they for a woman to lick another woman or finger another woman or what have you and have an orgasm, because that's not the point we're arguing, whether a man and a woman can have sex, whether a man and a man can have sex and be pleased, whether a woman and a woman can have sex and be pleased. We're not arguing that point. It's been proven that they can. It's been proven that they can have loving relationships. The argument that I'm saying is, if he made this, why didn't he also make, in his wisdom, if we can agree that he is all-knowing and he's wise, why didn't he also create a way for them to procreate? Because at the end of the day, that is something that they cannot do. And it is, you know, and it's also bringing just back my argument to whether or not, no, I don't think God is as straight-laced as you believe that I believe he is, because I don't know God. I really don't know what he does, and he makes that clear that we won't know him. But what I stand on and what I firmly believe is that he did not create sin just to be the antithesis to not sinning. I just don't think that that's him. Now, we'll never agree on that, or we'll agree to disagree, but I just don't think that God made something just so it could be here, just so we can have something to argue. I do think he is bigger than that.
Why did he make man and woman, Joey? Other than just to be here.
He made them to worship him, glorify him, and be in relationship with him. That's why he made man and woman. And I also think he did it because he wanted to be God.
Okay.
But he made it clear that he wanted to make man and woman in his image. So he put some thought into it as well. But your question to me was, did he make homosexuality? Did he make murdering? I don't know. I don't believe that he did. I believe that was what came about when we deviated. And it still goes back to, just bringing it back to what our point tonight is whether, and what we were discussing, is whether marriage should be redefined. And again, I stand firmly on that I don't believe that it should be redefined.
That it doesn't need to be refined, but they should have the benefits of marriage.
If the argument is, Heather, that we just want the same rights, then have the same rights. But if the argument is that I want to be labeled as married, I want my marriage to be what people believe to be glorified or honored, not just in the world, but even in spiritual terms, even in spirituality, I want it to be the same. I want it to be defined the same. No, I just don't agree with that. Because then I say, what's going to stop? My argument is, what's going to stop other people from wanting it to be redefined again?
Nothing. Now,
and if that's the case,
I totally
then polygamy, and my thing is, if that's the case, then polygamy should be made legal, because, the way the recession is, people should have more than one wife or more than one husband. Well, in some cultures it is, but I'm talking about here in the United States where it is wrong. It is considered wrong. It's considered immoral.
Right.
So if you're gonna, my thing is, why is some things, you know, some things are, and a lot of people say that polygamy is against God. But what's the stop? Okay, someone said that bestiality is illegal. But what, I mean, my whole thing is, why is it less immoral for someone, and let's just put it all under there. Why is it less immoral for a man and a woman to marry, or less immoral for a man and a man to marry, but it's immoral for a man to marry more than one wife, or a woman to marry more than one husband, and for a man to marry an animal, or a book, or a TV, or a car, or even their own kin, their own blood? This is why I'm saying marriage should not be redefined, or that legal repercussions come to people who don't want to support it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, doggone it, Joey, you done said a lot.
Well, no, and I get what you're saying, and I guess to some extent I'm in agreement with that and how it is. I think, though, that at some place you do have to draw the line, and like you said, to change it at that point, who's to say that this isn't going to come up, that's going to come up, and that's a valid point.
And I mean, you know, I'm not in no way, shape, or form saying that God does not love homosexuals, lesbians, you know, transgender. I am in no way, shape, or form saying that the same God that created and loved me didn't create and love them. All I'm saying is that, one, I don't believe in maybe Jeff's view of God is that he's a kid with the magnifying glass and we're ants and he's burning us and he's making, you know, he's bringing, if he's saying he wants all of it to be good and kind and wonderful, and then he turns around and says, but let me throw in a little evil here and there. I want you to love one another, but let me throw in murder. I want you to respect and honor each other's body, but let me throw in rape and molestation. I don't think God is doing that. I just don't, and I don't want to think of God that way. I don't. I don't.
You
and maybe... And maybe that's me wanting to be naive and childlike, but I respect God not just as creator, but I respect him as a loving father. And a loving father, just while he allows us free will, a loving father pushes us towards correction, and I just don't want to view him that way. So, I mean, if I die and I found out that maybe he was, then my whole point is, Lord, just don't let me go to hell, whatever it is. I don't want to be there. So if that's what you did, I don't need to understand. I just want to know that I ain't going to hell at the end of the day. And I want as many people, gay, straight, animalistic, whatever you want to call it, I want you to be there too. And if you want to be married and you want to be married to a man or you want to be married to a woman, Joseph Snyder is not arguing that point, and I'm not questioning your love for one another. But I just think some things just need to remain as they are, and I believe marriage should remain defined as it is.
Joey, a loving father also establishes a basis with you as a child so that when you yourself go out into the world, you have a strong base in which to navigate the things that are in the world, of the world, that they will not be by your side when you get there, but you will have something to draw upon to navigate the rest of your life. If your loving father knew that you was going to have an easy life, Joe, and the only thing that you was going to have to combat was just girls, trust me, your upbringing would have been a whole lot different. But it wasn't. There's a whole lot of things that went into you so that you're not out here robbing, raping, pillaging, that you ain't out here smacking, that you wasn't smacking your teachers, that you ain't cussing out cops, you ain't on the TV taking off your clothes, shaking your butt in the strip club. The whole lot that had to go in there to get you not to do that, Joe.
Well, before we continue on, I just want to say I didn't even realize it was 10:30 because the discussion was very good. We have spilled over into our after show. If you hang up, you won't be able to call back in. But we're over in our after show. We want to thank everyone that was there for the discussion on same-sex marriages, and I just want to put a disclaimer out before we continue, is that the opinions of the host of this show is their opinions, is our own individual opinions. It is not one that we all share. We are all human beings, and we all have our own thoughts and feelings, and as Jeff described, we have free will. So do not hold the Amongst Friends crew or anyone affiliated with us as having the same thoughts and feelings as we do. It is our own opinions, just like your opinions are yours.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, so we didn't get it from Mama.
No, you're right. No, my grandmother probably is turning over a few times on a couple of things that I have said. But I mean, just going back to what you just were saying, Jeff, yes, you're right, but my father also didn't introduce me to these things so that I wouldn't do them, if that makes sense. Like, he didn't bring drugs and say, here, try these drugs in my home under my watchful eye so that you will be deterred from it, because I think that would be counterproductive.
He didn't have to, Joe. And unless you was out there running with Theo Huxtable, it was probably in your neighborhood.
Oh yeah.
So he didn't.
It's still there. But you're saying that God, as a loving Father, introduced and created these things purposely, so that we wouldn't just have a hunky dory life. Whereas I do believe that God challenges us and he sends trials, but those are totally different than the innate feelings.
He's in my
and the
bathroom.
Innate.
You want him?
Oh, Jesus. No, I don't want him. The innate feelings and the innate desires for us to deviate from what he has commanded us to do. I believe trials and temptation are two different things. Mhm.
Okay.
What's wrong? So Heather.
I'm right
Heather.
Here.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Hey Heather. We didn't get to kind of hear what you thought about same sex marriages.
Say what?
I said we didn't get to hear what your opinion was on same-sex marriages.
I don't necessarily.
Don't stop it, because if you change the channel, you're not going to be able to see it. Right. It won't even let you rewind. It wouldn't let me record it when it was on the channel or anything.
I've never felt like
Avery, you're not supposed to be looking at that TV, and I'm not going to say it again. Hurry up.
I I had like my mixed feelings about it, honestly, because I do agree with you that once we begin to change definitions of things, that you can't stop the extent that it goes to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think that that applies both ways, and it's sort of a double-edged sword, because it's just like people say schools are out of hand because they took prayer out of schools. But to invite prayer back into school, then what are you going to do for Sarah who worships Satan, and for this person who worships Buddha, and this person who worships Confucius, and for the Muslim kids and the Jewish kids? You see what I'm saying? So you can't take one and say we're going to exclude everybody else. And that's my issue with rights and liberties, is that you can't take one and exclude everything else. And I believe that our rights end when they infringe on someone else. Now, that's my personal belief. So my right to do something is no longer my right when it infringes on you. So it's my right to let my house be dirty, but it's not my right to come into your house and live filthy.
Right.
Because now it's infringing on you. So for me, it's a conflict in the sense of that I believe that changing the definition of marriage is not necessarily necessary, because it can be what you want it to be. Like, I know a couple who did not go into church and get married, did not go down to the courthouse and get a license or a certificate, but they live as a married couple. They had a ceremony. And for all intents and purposes, they're husband and wife. They've made that commitment to one another. They have that union. Now, legally, if they ever try to separate, because it's been over 10 or so years, they would have to go through a divorce in court because of the years that they put into the relationship, which is considered like common law marriage or whatever. So I think that I never thought or felt like the definition of marriage being changed or marriage being stamped on something was the issue for gay people. The issue for them were the rights that came with marriage that they didn't have the privilege to. And
right.
for me, I felt like that was important because I've seen situations where if a family or a group did not approve of a same-sex relationship or of the person was in a relationship with, then they turn around and when something happens, or doesn't happen, they exclude that person, i.e. if they're in the hospital, this person can't make decisions or stuff for them. You know what I mean? Or if I get sick in a car accident, well, they call, you know, if I live in California, and that's where me and my lover is, and my family is here on the East Coast, somebody needs to be there to make a decision, to say something, to make a judgment call, you know, anything. And they didn't have that privilege. If, you know, I know couples who have been together over 20 years. You know, they share everything. Why wouldn't they be able to share health insurance, especially when it's something that you're paying for? So it's those kinds of things, financial things and such, that they did not have the right to, that I think was the bigger picture for them while they were even pressing for marriage. It was not about we want to redefine what you all have as marriage. It was more about we want to have the same privileges and rights that you all have as a committed couple, because we are a committed couple. And then also the designation of our commitment to one another. It's a public demonstration of, that's really what marriage is. It's outside of it being your union, your commitment, and your oath to one another. It is a public demonstration of your love for another person and your commitment to them. And so them wanting that, to me, I believe that God doesn't necessarily need us to mandate that, and that for me personally, whether or not I believe in it personally or I believe in homosexuality personally, I don't believe that it's my right or privilege to take that out into the public forum and tell everyone else that they need to dictate their life by what I believe personally, for my personal choice of religion, for my personal conviction. And that's where
I have an issue with. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
if the church goes above and beyond and out to try to mandate how the rest of the world lives, and I just don't think that that's fair, and I don't think that's the way God wants us to be. I think God intended for us to be light, to be examples, and to
mm-hmm.
walk in a certain way in a path, and that would draw people, that would redirect people, that would call people towards him, not for us to stand out on street corners and say, oh, you wrong, and to fuss and fight and argue about it, but to live it and allow people to see the benefits of living it. Because when something happens to us that's good, we call it a blessing. So then why isn't it a blessing when somebody who we think is in sin or the devil or evil, when something good happens to them? Or is it that God can do what he wants to do or allow things to happen? We all have freedom of choice. Why is the church
yep.
so wanting to take away choice from people and God doesn't? God doesn't make us worship him. He doesn't make us believe in him. It is offered as a choice, and we can take advantage of that. And so for us to try to force people to do something that God gave us, we had a choice in getting saved. We had a choice
right.
in choosing.
No,
Christ.
You're right.
Why are we so adamant about forcing people to do something that we took a choice in? And we don't believe it for anything else. That's why we got rid of the draft. Because everybody thought it wasn't fair for you to force my son to go fight in your war.
Right.
And so that's where I take issue with it. I do have some concerns with redefining marriage because, like you said, I mean, we see these crazy shows on TLC, Strange Addictions.
Mm-hmm.
And you seeing folks having orgasms with their bikes. Hold on a second, Joey.
Joey, I didn't mean to leave you out there, but I expressed my stuff the other day, and of course
yeah.
you're getting 1,000 texts right now. But yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, you all right? I'm just messing with you. I ain't feel you left me. I mean, I think it would have been good for people.
I did leave you. And Marcia, I don't care about you calling me no punk. I told y'all I didn't like the conversation. I didn't want to discuss it. And to be perfectly honest with everybody that's on the call, I mean, really and truly, it was like for me, but Joy was being persecuted. And I know that, you know, that they say that Christians will be persecuted in the end of times, but it was just like, you know what? I'm about to cuss. And then that's going to take it a whole nother direction because it was just like, what he was saying, it was just like, that's stupid. The way you thinking, that's just crazy. That's just whatever. So, okay.
It is
but,
crazy.
But you know what, Marcia? I ain't no punk. But I'm going to go on and be
yes,
quiet.
Yes.
No, I'm not. Go ahead, Joy.
No, I mean, like I said, this is a tough, tough conversation. To have, because I definitely don't ever want to come off as someone who is prejudiced or gay bashing and things like that. But I do also think, and I agree with what Heather was saying, that, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm more radical in my beliefs on what our purpose is as Christians, especially in being a light and living. So I agree with Heather on that side of the spectrum, but I also believe that there comes a time when we have to take a stand in our beliefs and what we believe God upholds as what is right. And so I believe that as Christians, it's not a problem that we take a stand. Like tonight, I took a stand. I didn't cuss at nobody. I didn't curse at my brother or my sister who disagree with me. They are well within their rights to disagree. And I welcome other people's opinions because I want people to welcome my opinions. You might not take it as fact.
No, I'm not saying that I would be cussing people out. I think that I would be getting defensive because I feel like my beliefs would have been challenged. And so I'm still learning how not to get
riled up.
You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like you're trying to back me in a corner and make me question my belief. It would have taken me into a whole nother mind frame. So, tonight I want to publicly say that I agree wholeheartedly with everything that Joy was saying. Now, on other issues, Joy is correct. There's a lot of things you don't agree on, but this one I do agree with what you were saying.
That means a lot to me, Deidre, because we often do disagree.
Yeah,
but,
we do.
But again, it's healthy. I think it's healthy. Jeff definitely made me think tonight. He definitely had me digging deep, and that's the kind of discussion that I want to have. I think that's the type of discussion that we as amongst friends need to have. Conversations that make you think. Conversations that do challenge your beliefs. Anyone can challenge your beliefs, but it's your choice to stand on what you believe in, and being able to constructively and logically take the opinions of someone else and think about them, you know, and chew on them, and I still have my beliefs, but he definitely made me think. You know, he definitely got me thinking a little bit deeper. And I think that's the point of conversation.
Right. I agree with that.
Is that you think deeper. You don't have to agree. I definitely don't agree with Jeff's view of God. But here again, I don't think we serve a different God. I just think we have a different opinion of how he relates to us.
Ever heard of sharing? The simple joy of being alive.
Okay, well, this has been great, and y'all can go ahead and continue this lovely conversation on next week.
No, I think we're all done.
On something else.
I think we're all
but
done.
But y'all enjoy next week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night,
Joey. I love you.
Love you too, Heather. Love you, Deidre. Love you, Jeff. Marcia, if you're on there, love you too. Peace.
For me,
Amongst Friends. Conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Trail.